9 o'clock came. If you're just tuning in, we just have a little bit over. Are we going to 10:30 today, Dennis Walton?
I think so.
All right. So we have a little bit over an hour to go just before the end of the morning mix show. All right. So we have on the line, we have my good friend. We have Neighborhood News on the line, Mr. Edgar.
Neighborhood News. Good morning, Edgar. How you doing, my brother?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Edgar. How you
doing?
I'm doing
great. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in today.
I'm all right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Edgar, since we have you on the phone, I know me and you've talked a little bit about this before we go into the actual story that you'll be reporting on. We were having a conversation before you called about COVID-19 and what people are experiencing personally, what people are experiencing personally with the COVID in their own homes and just with their own circumstances. Can you talk a little bit about that, man? Because I know you had mentioned previously that you were having some experiences with COVID as far as people who you knew as well. But what we're trying to gauge is you're hearing so much information about people who are affected by COVID, but we're not hearing directly from those individuals. What has been your experience over the last couple of weeks? Have you saw an increase in COVID? Have you saw a decrease? Do you know if people are going into the hospital steadily? And have you had any personal experiences that center around COVID that were negative or positive?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, my family was touched personally. My grandfather, he caught COVID and he was hospitalized for 23 days. Thank God he was released about a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago now. And I mean, his lungs were damaged. You know, that's permanent. My grandfather he's about to be 83, but he was in great health. You know, everybody in his household caught it, and just you know, we're just thankful that he survived. You know, we weren't so sure for a minute, so thank God for that. And then just other people, just looking at my Facebook feed and seeing people that I know, definitely more people I know are getting sick. Some of them are ending up in the hospital. Some of them are just talking about how very sick they are. Some of them are saying that they're asymptomatic, and, you know, some of them are saying maybe I lost my smell or my taste, but I'm doing okay. So, I mean, it feels like it's just getting closer and closer, and it's, to be honest, it's quite scary just to think about that. And then just the feeling of, I just getting the sense from a lot of people of just that overwhelming stress, you know, worrying about kids and school coming up, and God, what are we going to do? Is this the way life is going to be for the next year or so?
Right.
It's just, I mean, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I just wanted to get your take on it, man, because I know you're on the ground and just dealing with a lot of information and resources. And again, we're all going through our own personal experiences as well. But I just wanted to get your take on that, man. But again, good morning to you, my brother. It's good to hear from you. Let's get into the news. Let's get into the neighborhood news, man. What are we reporting on today?
Yeah, definitely. So Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, for anyone wants to know where, you can find us at MilwaukeeNNS.org. So a few weeks ago, I wrote a story looking at the stay-at-home arrest in the city of Milwaukee. You know, it was something we were interested in right from the beginning, just wondering how it was being enforced. So what we did was we sent an open records request to the Milwaukee Police Department, and what we wanted to know was who was getting arrested, what neighborhoods they were getting arrested in, you know, the race, age, gender of people that were getting arrested. And what we found, unfortunately, wasn't very surprising, but we found that 78% of those who were arrested for violating the stay-at-home order were African-American, 12% were Hispanic. So it was about 94% minorities and about 6% white, which is problematic, obviously, because it's a big disparity. It's not reflective of the population of Milwaukee. So we got that data, and you know, we reached out to MPD and asked them about that, why the numbers were so skewed, and why certain neighborhoods, for one, and you know, this is Dennis 53206, 26% of all the stay-at-home arrests occurred in 53206. So that was shocking.
Yeah, so when you talk about those arrests and fines, like what were the amount of those fines that people were forced to pay?
Well, there were $500 fines. I'm hearing, and I think I read some subsequent stories about those fines being dropped in many cases. I think that when we looked a little deeper and we asked MPD about what was happening, they were saying that almost all those fines, as a matter of fact, I think all but four, occurred while they were arresting people for other incidents. That's problematic for a few reasons. For one, it's kind of like it's charge stacking. So they already got arrested for something else, but now this is just an extra charge to throw on your case. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for two, it's saying that if these were only added charges for people that were arrested doing something else, what about other people that were breaking the law in other parts of the city? Mm-hmm. You know, what about people that were, you know, white people that were breaking the law at that time, mm-hmm. and in violation of the stay-at-home order? So, you know, it's definitely not really a good explanation at all for why that occurred. It's like I said, I'm thinking about charge stacking. You know, when you get arrested for one thing and all of a sudden you got three charges on you, it's just, you know, maybe easier, makes it easier to prove case. Maybe it adds on to the money you owe. Maybe it could add on to the time you end up being sentenced to. So that was problematic. Another thing that I noticed was that, you know, I think there was about 17 juveniles or so that were arrested, and all of them were minority. That was one issue. Now, you know, just to be fair, we remember when we think back to when the stay-at-home order was mandated here in the city of Milwaukee, and we had certain neighborhoods. We had neighborhoods on the north side that were the first outbreaks, and, you know, that was a big concern because people were not only getting infected there, but most of the people that were dying were coming out of those neighborhoods as well. So we had aldermen and representatives of those neighborhoods, you know, calling for people to stay at home, and also calling for that order to be enforced. You know, just to be fair, because you remember, Dennis, when it all kicked off and all the most of the focus side, mm-hmm. as being a hot spot, that changed. You know, now, you know, the hot spot moved to the south side, which was second area where most of the arrests occurred. It still doesn't explain the fact of the huge disparity between arrests.
Yeah, yeah. And again, can you give a breakdown of those actual statistics again, as far as the numbers between white, Hispanic, black, or whatever? What was those numbers once again?
Yeah, sure. So there were 177 arrests for violations of the stay at home order. Mm. And of those 177, 138 were African Americans.
Wow.
21 were Hispanic, and only 6%. So I think it was maybe 10 of those individuals that were arrested were white. And like I said, it was certain neighborhoods in the city that had more arrests than others. Factory 206, mm-hmm. had 46 arrests, so mm-hmm. one-fourth of all the arrests. But there was also 53209, mm-hmm. that had a large number of arrests, 53216, and 53212.
Right. So, again, the fact, I think that these numbers are very interesting and kind of symbolic to what we've been discussing for some time now, when we look at the disparities that exist within criminal justice, or within, you know, when we talk about how we need to reform our system. Those numbers, I think, reflect an issue that's deeper, even though we're talking about safer at home orders. Again, I think when you go into the point that a lot of the arrests came on the, or a lot of those tickets for the safer at home order were tickets that were issued because they said that they were doing something else. So maybe a person was loitering, or maybe another situation was occurring, but then on top of that, they add all these other you know, fines or violations on top of whatever that was. But again, I think looking at that disparity, when we know that people of all ethnicities were out and about, and it wasn't like black people were outside more than white people or any other race, but just to see that, just to see that those numbers fluctuate like that, I think is something that I think is something that's serious that we have to pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it goes into issues of targeting and racial profiling. And then, you know, it also became an issue because as a city, that was when we were talking about the enforcing or creating a mandate for everyone to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if that would have ended up being something that the MPD would have been asked to enforce, what would those arrests have looked like? I mean, thankfully, the Milwaukee Health Department is taking the lead on that, and the Milwaukee Police Department is not going to be enforcing that. And I'm sure they're glad about that. I mean, I don't think that they wanted to be the stay-at-home police either.
Mm-hmm.
But so they took a little different tact in enforcing and creating an enforcement mechanism for the mask rule, which I think is a good thing for our community.
Yeah. Well, I think to your greater point, when we look at legislators, laws, and policies, and these are the type of policies that come forth, we have to be considerate to how these laws and policies affect different demographics of people, and who is it going to hurt or who is it going to hinder the most when you pass a law like the Safer at Home order or a mandate for masks, especially when we look at these type of the disparities that exist and how these citations have been issued. And then, you know, to your point, there's an aspect of racial profiling or just over policing that takes place in certain areas, and I think again some of these numbers reflect some of that.
Definitely.
Yeah. So okay, as we move forward, man, what else are we reporting on? Is that it?
Well, you know, we're doing some following up on that. I'm also looking at the recommendations from the carjacking and reckless driving task force related to, you know, all the craziness on the roads in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So they laid out a plan that issued several recommendations. A lot of them had to do with education. Some of them were you know, punitive. So those are things that we need to really look closely at. And like you said, just look at the broader impact on certain communities. So mm-hmm. that's important.
Yes.
We do know that's an issue. As far as Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, we had a article today that's showing people where they can find free and locally made masks or face coverings. So please check that out. And then a few days ago, we had something that had information for people to avoid getting cut off once that moratorium ends and We Energies can shut off the lights. So that's something that's going to be a big deal in the city in the next few days. I believe the day where they can start cutting people off again is the 25th. So it's coming up.
It's coming.
And it's something that people want to get on top of. I know from my own experience, I've been cut off before. It ain't nothing nice. And it's a hot one this summer. So please, people, get on Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. Find your free mask. Find out how to keep your lights on. A lot of important information. Check us out at MilwaukeeNNS.org.
Real quick before you go, and I don't know if this is something, I know you guys hit on this a little bit in the past, but I know with the current climate of people not working and all of these things that are happening around the pandemic, there's predicted that there's going to be a significant amount of evictions over the next, you know, several weeks. Are you aware? Can you talk a little bit about that before we go?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, Dennis, I wrote something a few weeks before the stay-at-home piece.
Yeah.
And I looked at drug overdoses in Milwaukee. And, you know, we're kidding. We're going to pass the 600 mark, which is almost 200 more than the record high last year. And I think we talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those deaths are occurring in our neighborhood, and they're people of color. It's not a suburban white problem. It's here, home, and it's hitting everybody, and people feeling helpless, people out of work, people that are just stressed out, you know, they're turning to substance to kind of help them manage the stress they're dealing with. And, you know, we all know that it doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
It just add on to your problems, but, you know, tell someone who's stressed out and trying to stay clean, telling them that, you know, that their best bet is to stay clean. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to stay clean right now, especially with resources kind of harder to come by right now during this COVID crisis. I mean, the person counseling, that group counseling is not accessible. Like, so a lot of them back through the cracks, and they're going back to addiction, and it's sad because many people are losing their lives to it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Edgar, man, of course, it's always a pleasure to hear from you, man. And again, the work that you guys are doing on the ground, I think, is tremendous and very vital to, you know, making sure that people are properly resourced and informed in this community, man. And again, we really appreciate, you know, this continued partnership with Neighborhood News Service, man. And definitely look forward to having you back as soon as your time allows. Again, can you, for people who want to follow up on all of your stories and your information, can you give your contact information and where people can locate Neighborhood News?
Yeah, definitely. You can find Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service at MilwaukeeNNS.org, and we appreciate WGLB, and we love being on the air with you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, Edgar, for calling. All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right. All right, y'all, keep it locked in. 1560 WGOB 96.1 FM, 53 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock a.m. Be right back right after this. Keep it here.
It's the Gospel Music Morning Mix with Sister Soraya and Mr. Dennis Walton right here on AM 1560 WGLB. Stay tuned for more information, conversation, and the best in good gospel music.